Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dame Baptiste Questions Everything, a podcast where myself, comedian, writer, and occasional actor Dame Baptiste, and my producer friend Howard Cohen, aka The Hizzer,
hello,
pose the questions that need to be asked. And in these times, we are talking about everything from...
Well, you guess.
This might be the one time that no one needs to ask Howard what we're talking about.
It's fucking every. I mean, it's literally the only news story, and it's meant and it's meant that the episodes of our podcast that we were going to record, we couldn't record them.
Yeah, it's had a real effect on us, and you know, I think initially we have always had prior experience to seeing like outbreaks and epidemics of viruses take their hold in developing countries, and we've been relatively immune from that here in G14 countries or in the developed world. But now we are dealing with a global pandemic, which we're definitely not playing down, and yeah, it's affecting us on a small level whereby there is no mass gatherings or public gatherings of large people, and if you're a live performer such as myself, not really a good look.
It's fucked. I mean, in a bottom line, it's absolutely fucked. The number one, it's not just about income as well. I know income plays a part of it, but it's also just what you do with your life. You know, it's you and so many comedians and performers.
Well, not just comedians, but anyone that's in this, has emerged over the last 5 years or so is the gig economy, whether it's being live performances or it's maybe working in office spaces where you're sharing office spaces for like an SME, where when you're working out of your laptop, or in small industrial buildings where we like record podcasts, or even like members clubs and a lot of places which involve gig economies and people doing work every now and again that in the automated world still requires some physical presence.
Yeah.
Having that removed now makes things very difficult for everybody.
And I mean, it's worth flagging to the listeners at home who listen, thank you. We hope you enjoy what you're going to hear today. It's not going to be the normal thing because me and Dane are in different places. Dane's in West London and I'm at home in Hertfordshire. And we're being able to speak through the magic of the recording devices that allow me to record our phone. So that's why Dane's audio will sound a little bit different to mine, but we'll do our best to make that sound good to your ears. But it's weird to not be with you.
I've got a weird phone voice. People are learning stuff. But
I think you sound like you, Dane. You sound like you.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. If I didn't sound like me, then I think the audience would be particularly concerned. So
fair point.
Quite a principle that I sound as much like me as possible.
We're gonna try and dial up a few friends of the show to see how they're getting on with the kind of the whole situation and just kind of have a bit of a chat. But in the meantime, we just want to, you know. You're getting on with your life, Dane, right? That's your as much as you can. You said to me you went out for Wagamama's today, which is sounds
yeah brilliant. I went out to get food today just to see the lay of the land and how things are going.
What was it now, like? Where was the Wagamama's? South West London.
Yeah, and it was fine. I mean, there was about service was very quick and efficient because there wasn't many people there. Yeah. The ratio of people to staff was almost at 1-1.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know,
what did you order? What did you order? Katsu?
I got a few bits and bobs actually. Got myself a nice variety. We had some nice food. I just think, you know, not that I'm trying to be rebellious or I'm trying to trivialize the crisis, but at the same time, it's like I've always been somebody whereby, other than subsisting on what I'm told by mainstream media, I can experience it for myself and see what's happening. And I think, you know, given the fact that at this particular point we are dealing with what's supposed to be a global pandemic, but, you know, sanitation still being provided, as is indoor plumbing and electricity, as well as medical care in extreme cases as well, then I really hope that this crisis really has humanity and society take a look at where we value certain members of society.
Amen.
As I always said, and I've mentioned on the podcast as well, that, you know, we have created industrial hierarchy where someone who is a bin man, a refuse collector, or works in sanitation is looked down upon compared to somebody who may work in the finance industry. But given the crisis that we have now, I'll tell you what, I'd much rather someone who knows how to keep pipes and toilets clean than a fucking banker about now.
Oh yeah, big time. Big time. And it's fascinating because I'm sure like a lot of people, you're readdressing your value system in some ways, or looking at what you normally value in your everyday life, and it's obviously gonna change, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm definitely doing that and having a lot of reflection on, you know, thinking about how I communicate my creativity to an audience. But yeah, mainly just about, I just think this time's important just to make sure you spend time with people you care about. But it's funny, I guess I was arriving at this existential epiphany a few months ago, following some of the tragic passing of, like, you know, Kobe Bryant and Nipsey Hussle.
Mm.
So for a long time, I've kind of been like, you know, been able to put my egotistical wants and desires aside and trying to make sure I value things like spending time with loved ones.
Well,
so I guess this is reinforcing the point even more now.
I as I said before, we kind of press record, Dane. You know, I have personal situations in my family and that mean that I have to be very careful about who I'm interacting with, and therefore I'm trying to limit it because I don't want to catch it for those people in my life. You know, that's a that's a logical thing. However, when I actually add up the things that inconvenience me, because I'm obviously not a performer out there every night doing what you guys do. I have a job as a producer, and you know, I'm fortunate to say that I'm not about to lose it because of this. Although many people in our industry are losing their jobs.
I think that's one of the very humbling and I guess eye-opening things about dealing with something, dealing with a crisis of a biological nature, is the fact that, you know, where normally people may not be directly affected by this if they have a certain level of access to healthcare or standing of living.
Mm.
But, you know, the common cold, as referred to, is common. So everyone's dealing with it. And now this is cold that's not so uncommon because it's not something that you associate as a preventable disease of poverty anymore. Like, you know, members of parliament are getting this, elected officials, international diplomats, and also even celebrities. So
Tom Hanks was the first one to go.
Idris Elba has been symptomless. I know Mikel Arteta has contracted it.
Yeah.
Justin Trudeau's wife has contracted it.
But the thing that has hit me, and this is the kind of, you know, I guess slightly more philosophical, you know, maybe everyone has a smoke or a drink and thinks about this when, well, whatever they do to relax. The elements of our lives do not really matter as much as we act as they do in this very privileged Western society. I have kind of come to terms with, you know, I have a wife and a cat, you know, in my house, and I look after them both with food. And, you know, I had a moment when I was like, okay, how much food do I have in this house if everywhere was going to sell out? And I mean, the reality is plenty of food, you know, comparatively to if you were saying be on the fucking, you know, breadline, that, you know, I'm lucky to be able to afford to buy it. You know, that's the reality of that. And the idea that I've got enough to sustain us for these next couple of months, I'm incredibly fortunate, but not everyone's going to be in that situation. And the idea that, you know, I was thinking about how the brand of hummus that I buy, I might not be able to get it because otherwise I'd have to go to the supermarket. And I was like, I mean, genuinely, fucking hell, that's the first world problem. I mean, that's the highest level of first world problem, is to imagine that you can't get the brand of food that you want. But that's the kind of things that people are going to be bothered about because we've been so spoiled.
Yeah, I mean that's been the mentality of people for a very, very long time, and it's because a lot of time you've had the privilege of living in a developed world. Something like dealing with a virus or any issue of a biological crisis has never really been something that we've had to confront face on. Or there's been some level of social manipulation where it's not really put in your face, and so any potential danger is obscured from your vision. But yeah, I feel like, Howard, I question everything, and this kind of event definitely, for semantics, definitely reinforces why we have the podcast, because we question things and why things happen. And one of the reasons we do that is to be reflective, is so that we show that it happen again and we, you know, do some self-reflection. But also in terms of comedy, it goes to show you, like, you know, it definitely reinforces my own personal philosophy, which is, you know, a lot of the things that we take seriously are actually funny and they're jokes.
Oh, of course.
Other than the opportunity for human connection through the form of, like, you know, creative performance or artistic performance, and just a genuine rapport building with other human beings and other sentient beings within nature, nothing else really fucking matters.
Yeah. And you know, I've been, I'm sure you've been doing, you know, making your people that matter to you most laugh whenever the opportunity arises over the last couple of days. You know, I've picked up the phone to people and gone, "How's your apocalypse going?" And they seem to enjoy that as a question, because it is, you know, a completely different lifestyle, right? It's just completely changed.
Oh, definitely. But you know, this is the thing, is that it's the kind of perspective that we all need, and it's encouraging, both artistically and also from a humanitarian standpoint, whereby, you know, the questions you people ask is that obviously we're seeing a lot of panic buying and some hoarding and some profiteering. But, you know, people that are remaining somewhat stoic and seeking to interact with people and trying to carry on for the foreseeable future is very impressive.
Yeah.
And I really hope that that's a triumph for the human spirit. And, you know, this is a real issue, but there is the possibility there of people being able to develop some sense of perspective. And let's hope that they start applying this new outlook in terms of what they demand of the people that shape and control social policy, social etiquette, and, you know, and also as well as social and political discourse.
Yeah. Well, and that discourse is actually, I think, you know, the most vital thing in some ways, which is that, you know, that on two levels. One is, I've posed this question to a few people. If you had 25 grand in the bank right now, and you knew that you had, you know, more than enough to survive for the next however many months, would you give some of that away? And I think people would have to be really honest with themselves and say that they probably wouldn't. And maybe they're going to change their mind now, because there's going to be people who are actually going to end up fucked unless people are generous to them. And I think the idea of being a generous person is about to change, maybe.
Well, I think prior to this, I agree with you. I think prior to this, we're having a conversation where people were lamenting the fact that there seemed to be a maxim being repeated in our society, which was like, you know, "I'm all right, Jack." And there was a real sense of individualism. And we saw that in terms of, like, you know, where was acceptable hatred of people are referred to as the working class or chavs. We saw that with our whole apathy towards, you know, the plight of asylum seekers, of both a war nature and of a economic as well as environmental nature. We saw that so far as, you know, I guess, treatment of the diaspora based in the UK. Saw that from, you know, people's treatment of Muslims living in the UK. And I just think, yeah, every single time people allow their humanity to be compromised for just a little bit of creature comfort, you're getting closer and closer to a situation like we're in now. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think the definition of generosity is going to have to change. And I definitely think that the definition of corporate and social or political responsibility is definitely going to change. I really hope people will look at this and be like, this is not good enough. And we demand more of this.
Yeah. And I think those long-term benefits is what we're kind of hoping for. Maybe, just maybe, this will come out of this terrible situation. And I tell you the one thing I will say, and you know, I don't particularly get militant about anything, but the amount of people fucking speculating about nonsense to do with this disease, if you happen to be studying stuff and you're, you know, at one of these incredible universities who are doing, you know, round the clock research on this problem, then I appreciate your opinion. Whereas if you're just fucking spouting nonsense online, whether it be over the top worrying or conspiracy theorist bullshit, which let's be honest, it's quite entertaining to think that there's a conspiracy theory behind all of this, but you can't base anything on that right now. There's nothing to factualize that statement. So fucking put a cork in it. Like, surely this is not the time to be generating those kind of opinions.
Yeah, but I mean, rationalization and how people go about rationalization is always a very strange thing, I think, is a. And also, you've got to remember, like, in times of crisis, there have always been doomsayers.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of time when we're in the midst of, like, advanced technological advance, and what we tend to conflate that with social advance. And I don't think that's happened a lot of time. I think there are a lot of people that are, you know, we look at things like Munchausers and, like, you know, attention seeking. There are a lot of people that it just seems to be, for them, they find it a lot more galvanizing to unite people in fear.
Well, and that's,
and,
the,
you know, that's attention to themselves.
That's the Trump thing, right? And the Chinese disease, as he called it earlier today when time of recording. And the idea that this is, you know, I've read a number of things saying this is a Chinese conspiracy to win the economic battle over the world. It's like, you know what? Maybe one day there could be proof of something that is in any way near that. But for now,
but see, the thing is,
put it.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, that is coming from. See, for me, listening to somebody like that, it's very clear why anyone would think that person has any level of financial responsibility to run. That's why businesses will obviously go bankrupt, because if that is the idea that China wants to win a trade war, well, they can only win trade if there are people alive to buy their fucking produce. So if people die from a viral infection, they ain't going to be able to buy Chinese things, are they? And if people die, they won't be able to return or pay China's trade deficit if they're in arrears to China. And if people aren't able to survive a virus, well, if China wanted to infect us, would have given us a viral infection, they could have done that years ago with everything else we get from China.
Exactly.
Whether it's zips or produce or clothing or electronics or those little bits of packets of silica gel, which most people don't know it's even for. So they could have killed us a long time ago if they wanted to. MSG is a fucking excitotoxin, a flavor enhancer we've been using for years, and people are fine with that. So...
Yeah,
I mean, like, that level of irresponsibility, I don't pay much attention to it. And I actually think it's one of two things that we probably may get to a situation whereby I think this, and that might be one of the main things about this, the issue that we're dealing with now and the crisis that we're dealing with now, is that I think this is not, populism is not going to work in this instance.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that it was been allowed to enter the paradigm of political discourse was probably us cheating our lives in the first place. And so allowing people a world full of opinion and populism when we're dealing with issues that require the application of wisdom and actual knowledge and research, they're going to become very obsolete, you'll find, in the next couple of weeks.
And I think there was that time during Brexit where they said, oh, people are tired of experts. Do you think they're fucking tired of them now? Do you know what I mean?
people that say stuff like "I'm tired of experts" are people. Yeah, those are people that have basically given over to their own peasantry, and you know, like we just and that's been encouraging this lowest common denominator narrative where it's like I'm entitled to my opinion. People are tired of experts. We've been encouraging this ignorance for a long time. The problem being is that what goes along with that ignorance is an entire lifestyle where it's not just people that are ignorant of mine. Then, you know, if people don't listen to experts, they will let stuff like their hygiene lapse, and they will not check on themselves. And so it's very easy. When human beings are, like, you know, this is just how nature works. If you have prey or you have a food source as a predator, like a virus, for example, is a predator or lives parasitically off of its host. Now, if you have a host that now doesn't care about experts and doesn't care about wisdom and knowledge and, you know, learning lessons of the past, then for a virus, that works out perfectly for you.
Yeah.
Which is why, probably why Prince Philip actually himself said, if I had a chance, I'd come back as a virus to help with the problem of overpopulation. Because as far as the elites are concerned, when they're hearing people say stuff, we're tired of experts and people that shun education and shun the word of experts, to them, that's the peasantry. Hmm. And so, you know, I really feel like when people say they're tired of experts, that's, you're speaking into existence. You're acknowledging your own inferiority.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
but this is what I'm saying is that, like, we have this state where we feel that our social advance runs concurrently with our technological advance. And it's in this particular point in time, I can say it couldn't even be further from the truth, especially given the fact that as we are now at the apex of human evolution in terms of technology, where we are on the board, you know, we're having burgeoning research into artificial intelligence. People have become medieval.
Mm.
Now we're at a point now where we're creating robot, like sentient life. People are like, the earth is flat and you shouldn't have vaccinations. This is how far we're beginning to regress. And, you know, for a long time, we've encouraged this culture of like this yearning for nostalgia, whether it's make America great again or keep calm and carry on and war slogans. So while we've been encouraging this narrative, as older people like millennial, extennials or Generation X and boomers are having a presence on social media, you know, things like we're tired of hearing from experts and stuff like that. It's like, well, you know, that's probably how people spoke before the plague began.
And I tell you what, man. I just think people just need to be good to each other. Like that, when you actually think how much effort you make to be decent to other human beings, we talked about this a few times, you know, when you're at a checkout and you're nice to the person, you're polite to the person that's serving you, you know, some people are so inherently rude to those people. And, you know, it makes a world of difference. Now, I think if we treat everyone with kind of a bit of love and a bit of respect in these coming months, because we're all going to need each other. We're all going to need each other's, you know, support. We're not going to, you know, nobody just wants to be stuck. I mean,
we've always been a social species, right? And because we've always had, now do we've had this ability to reimagine ourselves along in, as digital incarnations of ourselves, that allowed for us to show a lot less empathy towards our fellow human. It showed, allowed for us to show a lot less sympathy. And technology has now enabled a lot of us to lose our humanity. Now that the aspect of our humanity is now being compromised, we're now going to require technology in order for us to realize it again, is what I think.
Wow. Big prediction.
You say be nice to each other. I'm like, you're damn fucking right, Howard, because you know what? If you don't, you may die. So you don't even have a choice anymore.
Yeah. No, it's, and that's what I'm saying about what people are putting out on socials. Just rein it in, everyone. Let's just...
Yeah, but that's what people used to do. Like, socials has historically offered people the veil of anonymity. I think at a time now where we are so crucial what people are consuming in digital formats with the current crisis, people aren't going to be able to afford to fuck around anymore and be idiots and be the kind of person that used to write. Because, you know, we're trolls and stuff, and they replace the kind of people that write on school desks or write in bathroom mirrors or write in toilet cubicles in public restrooms. That's who trolls have always been. I can tell you for free now, in a world where, you know, you're no longer having mass gatherings, people are going to be scrutinizing any kind of false information that can lead to any kind of loss of human life. Being a troll is not going to be as fun as it's been.
There's not going to be a lot to do. Yeah, it's not going to be a lot to do. So yeah, it's crazy times, Dane. And but we're going to keep podcasting, right, man? Like, we've got this technical setup here where my phone is recording. Is being recorded by our recording device, and we're going to be able to talk to people all over the world. We've got friends stuck in Australia, right? Who've gone out for the thing.
I don't know what's going to happen, Howard. All I know is that I made a choice about 10 years ago that I'd be the minister of the best medicine as a comedian. Okay, that's what laughter is. And now I've got to be like Johnny Appleseed or be a comedian sans frontiers and use the internet as my method of travel. As long as people are listening, we're going to keep providing the content for them.
We're going to keep doing Question Everything. As you said at the start, it's as vital as ever. We're going to bring on a friend of the show now to see. I'm going to try and add him to this call. The lovely Ishan Akbar. And we're going to see what he's up to at the moment. Let's give him a call. Ishan Akbar.
Hello, Howard Cohen.
And Dane Baptiste.
Hello, Howard Codane.
Mr. Snackbar, how's it going?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, basically, Ishan, in a nutshell, Howard and I, you know, we believe that laughter is the best medicine. And so what we're doing is go around making our equivalent of house calls, just so you know everyone's going on, see if we can bring some laughter in their life, questioning everything, because you may have questions that you want to ask, so we're just providing. But we'll start with a friend of the podcast and a friend in real life.
He is a friend. He's a lovely man. How you coping? How you coping, Ishan? How you doing with the fucking apocalypse, mate?
Well, I'm doing all right. So basically, as you might hear from my voice, it doesn't have the same sultry, deep tones that you may be accustomed to.
It's quite rough.
And that's because I was nursing a cold and a cough over the weekend on Friday, and I've gone into self-isolation. And I'm basically recovering from it. But the advice has been so conflicting. My dad lives with me. He's 60 years old and a diabetic. He's a paramedic. He called his boss yesterday, say, look, I've been talking to my son who's had this cold and cough situation. Should I come in? And then he said, yeah, you're absolutely fine to come in.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, your dad is a paramedic, so I guess civil service, this government is finding out just how reliant they are on it, I imagine. I'm very concerned about the fact that, you know, there has been very little in terms of finding out what policies are being put in place to take care of, you know, members of the civil service, whether it's, you know, paramedics, people within the medical profession, and also, reluctantly, law enforcement. You know, which I think is very mature and big of me to say, everybody.
It is. But also, it's just funny for me to see at which point during the process we begin to realise who really is indispensable to us. And nobody realised this, but, you know, supermarket shelf stackers right now, they are worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely.
Listen, everybody that exists within the gig economy right now needs to be exalted accordingly, because that's what London revolves around. London revolves around gig economies and people doing shift work and part shift work. And, you know, a large part of that is made up of the immigrants of this country. And I think now that people are not able to derive any kind of superiority based on their jobs because they can't go to work and be in a suit on a train, they're going to be so dependent on this gig economy now that you're right. That people that work in, you know, civil service, people that are involved in menial jobs, whether it's like, you know, I think, yeah, even people that are out there now picking produce and trying to curate produce and food and have that delivered and, you know, still try to maintain like distribution chains for food and the essentials. We need to start showing these people more respect. We should have been doing this in the first place.
Exactly. So that's the stuff that I'm thinking about at the moment is, now it took us this apocalypse to realise that maybe I'm not as useful to society as I thought I might be because I've got 2 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad reflection of yourself, but it's just as long as you don't equate, you know, academic achievement with any kind of moral or physical support. Personal superiority over anybody else, because like I said to Howard, you know, it's always been a thing whereby people will look at bin men and bankers at opposite ends of the industrial spectrum, but right now you would need a lot more sanitation than you'll need financial advice.
Yeah, exactly.
I really hope that becomes a point of principle for everybody living within a free economy, in inverted commas, or living in the developed world, because, like, you know, once you start discussing the things about, like, you know, an equal distribution of wealth or economic wealth to people with menial jobs, then people very much balk at the idea that them working in the service industry would make them equivalent to somebody who works in, like, I don't know, sewage treatment. But right now, you know, it's a buyer's, at the moment I say it's a seller's market. If you're someone that can provide the most basics, the basics of human existence and human prosperity as opposed to the theory of it, you're going to be a lot more useful to people. So,
well, yeah. even the clever clogs. So the Federal Reserve wanting to put $1 trillion into the stock market, mm-hmm. The market is just going to soak it up and it'll crash again. It's going to make absolutely no difference.
Any person that's going to profit from that would be the people that sells the anti-back gel. Well, that's where the money seems to be going. Ishan, I had to ask you about this year. Are you currently holding a fuck ton of toilet paper?
Let me tell you, no, I'm not. Two reasons.
I've got fuckloads. My wife orders it online and we've got loads in the shed.
Yeah,
mate.
Sorry,
Howard, and your location is where, sorry?
You should see how many sweet potato fries I've got in my freezer.
Nice.
Potato fries.
Oh, I've loaded up, mate. But that was way in advance of any apocalypse. I was just really keen to have a lot of sweet potato fries, really good ones. That's,
yeah, that is the middle class stockpiling I wanted to hear about.
She likes them, and I try not to eat normal potatoes.
Why can't you just have fries at a time like this?
I don't like normal potatoes, Ishan. I don't know what to tell you. She loves sweet potato fries. It's the rice.
Well, you know what, Howard? What you may learn is that we don't all eat things for taste.
Thank you.
You might need them slow-release carbohydrates when you're running away from zombies.
Yeah, exactly.
Toilet paper zombies. And you're like, how do you know when they've turned? Because when they turn around, it's like dry crap in their butt crack.
I can't wait till they say potatoes cure coronavirus. Watch.
Well, so you buy a packet of potato flavored condoms, Ishan.
Genuinely, I don't even know what to fucking. I mean, I keep trying to do exercise because I'm like, I need to try and stay, you know, stay fit because of who knows what the fuck's going to happen.
I've been trying to do exercise for the last 35 years, very unsuccessfully.
Well, like I said, a zombie with dry poo in their butt crap will get you running, Ishan. That's real good for cardio.
Ishan, I would assume, like every comedian, your shows are currently cancelled, right? So what are you going to do with your time? Are you going to write a book or what are you going to do?
All my shows are cancelled. I'm going to tighten my film script. I don't know if you've heard, but I'm potentially working on a documentary series with a very exciting new production house.
Oh, yep.
So I'll be working on stuff to do with that. I'll just be, you know, preparing lots of different types of content. I'm just ordering a microphone and an external hard drive because I'm anticipating I'm going to produce more stuff and put it out there and just see what happens.
Well, me and Dane have been talking. We're going to make stuff for these next couple of months. I've got, you know, the camera kit, the editing kit in my new setup. So we're going to, listen, we'll talk more about it because we want to keep making stuff for the masses.
Yeah. I'm also working on synthesizing a antiretroviral or protease inhibitor to prevent them from replicating. My research is very, very arbitrary at best. It's pretty much like a stick man and some scrawlings in the back of my journal. But once we get underway, Ishan, also I'm probably going to work on my whole idea that I've been working on, like vegan ice creams and sorbets for a long time. So if you see a guy driving through your area in a light commercial vehicle with a hazmat suit on, trying to serve delicious fruity sorbet treats to children, just me, baby, trying to save the world.
I remember talking about that with you the first time I met you properly.
He talks about it all the time.
In Hamburg.
I'm sorry. I just want to be able to provide delicious treats for the populace that don't want to eat the milk of another species. Call me crazy. I just feel like we at a point in time now, any opportunity for you to get foreign bodies into your bloody, your tissue in your bloodstream, bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Ishan, thank you very much for giving us your time. We'll speak to you very soon. We're going to make some other house calls now. So, take care of yourself. Feel better, mate.
Thank you. Enjoy. They won't be as fun as me.
They won't be, Ishan. Ishan, please take care of yourself and be well. For completely unrelated reasons, should the worst happen, can you please donate your scalp to me?
Sure, it's a good head of hair, man.
You got a delicious quiff.
Can one of our listeners please Photoshop Ishan's hair onto Dane's head?
Make that happen.
Someone do that, please.
Make that happen.
Ishan, take care of yourself, mate. All the best.
Bye.
Good on, bro. Thanks, Ishan.
So, Dane, we were going to record the other day, weren't we? We were going to record with different comedians and different people coming into the show, but they couldn't come because of the virus. But one of them was a really funny guy called Rahul Kohli. Should we try and call him now?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, let's give Raul a call. Raul's a good friend of mine. Always catch him on my travels. A very talented international and traveling comic. And a very insightful guy as well. So
let's give him a call.
He's got interesting stories to tell.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, is that Raul?
Hey.
Yes, hello, lads. How are you? Are you well?
We're good, man. How are you doing?
I am as well as can be, given the current climate.
Which is probably a lot more of a considered answer than I gave. I was like, everything's fine.
Well, it's one of them, isn't it? Like, I'm in deep trouble. But you take some sort of condolence in the fact that the world suffers with you.
Yeah, if really united sorrow and united joy shouldn't require a humanitarian crisis for us to feel that way, you know, live together. But that being
said, for me, mate, I'm a very, very individualistic man. I am.
Yeah, I get it. Well, you know, we're in a line of work whereby you spend a lot of time by yourself. So if you're not comfortable with and enjoy your own company, then, you know, this might not be the career for you. So, and I said before, you know, you're someone who like travels the four corners of the globe alone a lot of the time, and like a lot of time with comedy, constantly interacting with and meeting new people and new cultures and new subcultures, and obviously handle it very well.
Rahul, it's Howard here, the producer, exactly. The producer of the show. How are you doing?
I am well, Howard. How are you?
Not too bad. So how are you dealing with this virus scenario?
I have literally just buried my head in books and papers and just read a hell of a lot and pretended the whole thing isn't happening, because there's nothing really I can do, is there? Like, I can try and reschedule a few things and get some projects I've not done, but we've got no real direction. It's like, avoid all non-essential contact. To what extent is my job essential or not essential? And then we don't know if it's going to go away. We don't know when it's going to end. So I've just kind of read and just sort of hoped it'll all go away one day.
Yeah, I think at this particular stage, as vague as that sounds, it's the only way you can deal with it, man. I think, you know, myself personally, I don't want to be like a nihilist or a fatalist about the whole thing, but, you know, human beings sometimes need to be reminded, man, that we are a part of nature. We're not distinct from it. And so if there is a decision being made by nature now, then you kind of have to conduct yourself how you feel you the best way you can as a human being. And rather than continue to, like, I guess, muse about, you know, potentially anything fatal. It's like when I'm on a flight, for example, Raul, yeah, I never really, people are like, don't you get scared about flights? And I'm like, listen, if I'm in 35,000 feet in the air and the plane just cuts off and we just descend, odds of survival, very low. So I can't, there's no point screaming all the way down because you know what's going to happen.
Well, you got your seatbelt, you got your oxygen mask.
There you go, exactly.
What an optimistic man. That's the most optimistic thing I've ever heard.
Exactly, so whatever.
You never know, you might wake up in a Lost type scenario.
You do,
oh,
exactly.
Oh, God, but that TV show went really badly very quickly, so I'm not sure that's such a good idea.
Well, you've got two seasons of enjoyment and then things take a turn.
Listen, Howard, I think compared to some of the more recent dramas that take place on tropical islands, I think it was very good. On island-based dramas has declined over the last couple of years. I feel like maybe Lost wasn't that bad. I'd argue that some people on islands nowadays are kind of lost.
I don't know, man. That love triangle between Kate Sawyer and the doctor, I now forget the name of, that was deep, man. That was akin to founders of Love Island.
That was deep, see? That was an original Love Island. There was some real love there. Whereas nowadays, that what we refer to as a Love Island is not the same as Lost.
Interestingly, it was actually Lost that gave me some of my first introductions into like actual Hindu ideology, given that I'm raised Hindu and I knew nothing about it. It was actually the TV show Lost that gave me any sort of insight into that.
Really?
Because do you remember when they find, because they find the they find that apartment, because that's when I was a teenager at the time and I literally got lost watching the series. Somewhere around about the second or third series, the others had like apartment blocks on the other side of the island and they killed off Mr. Reco and I was just like, I'm confused, my favourite character's gone, I'm done with this.
Some of our listeners may be listening to this from some point in the past and you're giving them plot spoilers.
Oh, God, yeah.
If you haven't watched Lost yet, you've left this too long. No, they have to suffer.
We got a period of isolation. I think people got the time to go, hey, you might be ruining a potential series I might watch over the next six months to a year.
Good point.
When they find the first basement block, they like find it with all the stuff in and like the experiment for humans. They have that thing written, Dharma, and I had no idea what Dharma was. And then that was like one of my first insights where I just went on Wikipedia and found out what Dharma was and how central it was to Hindu theology.
Which is, it's very interesting. I mean, in the same way that, ironically, watching The Passion of the Christ made me a lot less passionate about being a Christian. So,
That's good. You're a happy guy, aren't you, Rahul, generally in life? Are you finding this harder, or are you still feeling quite happy?
At the minute, I'm feeling quite happy, to be honest. I needed the time to rejig a few things and I was always on the road as it was. I'm content by and large. You've just got to sort of take it as it is. Like, the world is the world, it moves around you. And even like a month before this, you know, there was some sort of concern. Like a month before this, I was doing a lot of European gigs. And me, very cleverly, you see, Howard, I booked loads of European gigs this year because I read the papers. I was thinking, oh, well, Brexit transition period comes to an end at the end of 2020. In 2021, I don't know if the visa will be needed. I don't know to what extent that'll affect my profitability. I'll book loads of European gigs this year. Then already a couple of weeks in, I was thinking, oh, God, the climate might screw this up. And then all of a sudden, they've got this coronavirus going, oh, God, nobody's traveling anywhere. And then I thought that would just affect my European gigs, but it's affected my UK gigs as well. Before the climate, it was Brexit. So you just kind of got to get on with things and hope for the best. But I'll tell you one thing. In a month's time, when, you know, or 2 months' time, when my savings start to wear thin. I'm not paying rent. Could I get angry and start stabbing people and stealing their money? Who knows? You've got to react to your environment, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, it's true, Raoul. But let's not jump the gun straight away. There will still be people with deep pockets. And you have a very saccharine, sweet voice. Very unique. What if you take those Geordie Hindi sensibilities and you come and work at my sex work call center and we take it back into the good old days and we just provide salacious, salubrious, seductive tones for people that are looking for a friend out there?
Are you trying to sort of sign me up to your... what is this? This sounds like you've run some sort of sex line or that's your plan for future
Raoul,
income.
Raoul, don't make it sound like pimping, you handsome, sexy idiot. I'm just saying, in the line of work we're in, we just sometimes need to find alternate ways. Like, one of the reasons I got into comedy is because, you know, philosophically, it showed me that there are no guarantees in life. So I enjoy this job. And that was the main point, was that I was trying to seek something that was fulfilling and enjoyable. So there's never been any designs that where there'll be some long-term stability with this thing. Because remember, like, even Equity is an amazing organization which exists to provide, like, insurance and coverage for comics. But, you know, now, given the unforeseen circumstances, you may not be able to pick up on an insurance claim. So, you know, all I'm saying is that, like, let's say we got to do some stuff that's crazy for water and I need distraction. You need to turn the sexy up to 100 and then we start rinsing people via Patreon and PayPal. Not because we're evil, you know, sex sells. We just want our cut of the cake. And that cake is Raoul Coley flavoured.
It's the way you're selling this, Dane, that makes me fear the pimping. You're coming across very sort of used car salesman, Martin Shkreli-esque, sort of selling me a positive. It's the negging, the way you started that with, hey, don't jump to the conclusion of pimping, you handsome, sexy idiot. It was that, you know, raise my confidence up and slap me in the face. That makes me think this is a terrible idea.
You know, because I need you to know that you're beautiful, but not to fuck with daddy. Did I say daddy? I mean, hey, you're a friend.
And it really feels like this isn't the first time you've made this conversation happen, Dane. That's what really, you know,
I've been hinting at it for a long time. I guess no one's really been biting. I guess I didn't really pick up a lot of interest when I started trying to get comedians for my inverted commas comedy workshop, but
improv.
My improv, and I feel like now is the biggest improv of all. Is that I take some of the most talented creators I know in the industry, and we create a demand for telephone-based sex talk. Again,
He's good at this, Howard. He's just gone, oh, well, I ask loads of people after I reject him. I ask loads of people, but I do just go for the talented one. You're very roller coaster of my emotions here.
Yeah. Hey, look, that's it, man. You know, it's self-esteem. It's how you control it.
We'll be in contact with the negotiations. With as well. Yeah.
And also...
Thanks for replying.
Thanks for replying. And also, Raoul, as a first time, because we're trying to administer the best medicine via comedy, via these house calls, and might be the first time our listeners have heard of you. Where else can we find you and check out some of your stuff, please?
Well, you've got lots of time at the minute, so I suggest you try and binge my podcast on BBC Sounds. It's called Comic Sanskrit, and it's all about trying to define what Hinduism is. It's sort of a mixture of stand-up, sketch, and interviews.
Lovely.
Yeah. Sounds amazing.
And then apart from that, you cannot find me anywhere else because my calendar has been pulverized. Exactly. You can find me in my kitchen. Don't come in here if you've got a cough.
Yeah, and also look up Raoul Coley on Google Images and you guys will see what I'm saying. The guy is just caramel personified.
He's a beautiful man. Listen, look after yourself, Raoul. It's been lovely to talk to you. This has been a lovely little call. We're going to call someone
Thanks,
else
Raoul,
in a
man.
Bit. But, yeah,
you, bro.
Nice stuff.
Stay safe.
You
stay
too.
Well,
hey, thanks for having us. Stay safe.
Have a good one, brother.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
So that was lovely to speak to Raoul. Let's try someone else. Should we try Marlon Davis? You've known Marlon for years, right, Dane?
I've known Marlon for years. Marlon has been a stalwart of the comedy scene, both the mainstream and the black circuit. He's always been a great guy and a confidant. And I get to gig with him frequently. And he is an endless source of positivity in the comedy industry.
Let's see if he's around. He said he would be. So let's try him now.
Hello?
Marlon.
Yo.
It's Dane and Howard. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you keeping?
We're good, man. I'm currently chilling nearby, man. I'm in West Side. I know you're normally chilling in North Wheezy. And essentially, we are... Basically, the philosophy is that laughter is the best medicine, isn't it? So I'm making house calls to talk to other positive people to see how they're living and surviving in the current times.
Okay.
How you getting on?
What's been happening?
Yeah, we're just surviving, isn't it? I went to Hobbycraft just now.
Oh.
All right. Really?
Yeah.
Why?
And I don't usually go to that shop because it's like it's overpriced, isn't it? But because of the virus, I thought, you know, like it's just there's sales everywhere.
So there are sales everywhere, you know.
There are sales everywhere.
As sheepless and as scared as the people in the shops look, I'm like, what? Half off exactly. Is the money exchange? Oh, well, bruv.
That's how it is.
Hobbycraft as well. That's all good.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you a question as well. Yeah.
What did you buy from Hobbycraft? Is what I have.
Marlon, as well as being a very accomplished and well-known and loved comedian in our circuit, is also the survivor of a he came out of a coma.
Not too
long ago.
Yeah.
And I want to know. How 28 days later does it seem that you come out of a coma and everyone's like, don't worry, Marlon, you're awake now, everything's going to be fine. And now we have a global pandemic, Marlon. Do you feel that?
Crazy.
Does stuff happen sometimes and you're like, you know what? When I was asleep, I was fine.
That's how I felt. That's how I felt. I was like, everything was just all safe and, you know, everything was nice. When I woke up, though, I would say, like, Brexit happened, didn't it?
Well, a few things happened. Brexit happened.
Like, Brexit happened.
The 2016 celebrity side.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that Prince went.
Snape went. Farrah Fawcett went. Oh, so many people. That year, we were all like, what do they know? What is it they know? And I just feel like, especially when there are really abrupt losses from celebrities or influential people in society, and then something like this happens, I'm like, what do you know? Like, part of me was at first, even when I was like, Meghan and Harry are not only leaving the monarchy, they're leaving to go to Canada. What do you know?
Exactly. What is over there? Like the Queen's been rushed over to Windsor and everything. I don't know. It's
what do you think there, Marlon? I'd like to get your view on it. What do you think? What do you see? How do you see?
Of what?
Of have you been caught wind of any conspiracy that has piqued your interest or curiosity?
About this coronavirus?
Yeah.
It just depends whoever you speak to. You speak to anyone that come up with something. My favourite one has to be that it's an alien, the alien theory. That's the one that's got me the most.
We haven't heard this one. Tell us more about this one.
Yeah, because what they've done is, like, the aliens, this is an attack, basically.
Okay.
It was a mild attack.
Mm.
So what they've done is that they just gassed up the whole of the whole planet, and they started over there in China because that's where they said they've got the most people. And they started from there, and it spread throughout the whole world. And this is the first stage of it before they actually appear. So all of this is just making us weak. Our immune systems are weak. And then they're going to appear and slaughter a lot of people.
I see. I mean, I'm just saying, they probably could have done it earlier because then things would have been nicer. Like, I'm just saying, if I'm an alien for plan, I'd have been like, yeah, let's this invasion's ready.
Yeah.
You don't want to go now. There's a lot of trees that's still left. No, give it a while. How much worse could they behave?
Then
somebody was like, I'm sorry. Have you guys been paying attention to Earth? Because they were setting fire to the Amazon rainforest. Are you kidding me? The virus is already. Now! Supposed to come out in 2019. Now!
Is that insane?
That theory is an unbelievable idea.
Ander's upset they did it at this point because Liverpool ain't won the league yet. If Liverpool won the league, then yeah, you can do whatever you want to do.
Marlon Davis, are you saying that aliens are in league with the Sun newspaper
and Man United?
Trying to impede the progress of both Liverpool, the city, and the football club?
Definitely, most definitely. You said it here first.
That might be the most plausible conspiracy theory I've heard. I think.
How's it affecting your life, Marlon? Because I was talking about how, I kind of sometimes try and not eat too much chocolate or something. But then with the, you know, scenario, I'm thinking I might just buy all the chocolate and eat it all because who gives a fuck, right?
Yeah.
But how are you feeling?
I'll tell you the truth. Like this self-isolation thing that people's having to go through, I do it every day. I'm a comedian. That's what it's like.
Exactly.
This is it.
Exactly.
I'm by myself. I'm driving.
We'll be okay. We're fine with our own company. Like,
exactly.
This is basically like being in a hotel over a weekend where you're like, it's a bit strange. No one's out during the day. The only difference is now, it's like if you're washing your hands, but it's not because you've been masturbating during the day.
Yeah. That's a lot of new role.
Yeah, that's very different.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And hand sanitizer. I can see what's going on.
You know, we just put it all together.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty run-of-the-mill stuff for us.
So they're turning everyone into comics.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, fuck
it. I mean, it's one of the only... It used to be one of the only jobs that, like, you know, still required, you know, human interaction, you know, because you can auto-tune music and you can do holograms, whereas holograms that can also understand and play on humour and take a tragedy and flip it, that's the last part of the conundrum. So I guess what we're saying is, Marlon, when the aliens do invade, the only people that will be able to save us from the aliens and the artificial intelligence are comedians.
I think so.
finally, we'll be in charge. The one thing I would point out, that given we talked about masturbation, is we might have some younger listeners and we want to give them some advice. You need to control your... Calm down, okay? Don't get out of hand, literally. It could get nasty. Wow.
Okay.
It's not going anywhere, lads. Don't you worry. It's not going anywhere.
You know.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere, so don't you worry, lads. So but my advice is that... for people to take time, spending time with themselves.
Mm.
Even if you are locked up in a post-apocalyptic lockdown, consent still comes first.
Absolutely.
And that you should value your self-love over anything else.
Believe.
And also learn to fight aliens, innit, Marlon?
You gotta do that.
With salt. Salt works on aliens. And also
cigarettes. They're not slugs, Dane. They're not slugs.
Don't know, Howard. They might be mollusks. That would explain why they want such a mucusy kind of environment.
Don't say that everyone needs salt to fight aliens. They'll be down the fucking Morrisons, fucking loaded it up. You can't say that. It won't work.
Well, I don't know, this virus, also, it's been marketed wrong.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, there's too much bad press about this, you know?
There's been a lot of bad press about this.
The CV things, COVID, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it does seem a bit package-ish in terms of what we're dealing with. But I don't know, at this particular stage, I'm always up for a little conspiracy. But for now, I'm more concerned with just people being able... What I'm really more concerned with is the reaction to the news rather than the news, than the phenomenon itself. I think the opportunity for infection stuff, human beings, our problem has always been this Darwinian idea about being the dominant species. And I think when you're living in nature and living in synergy with nature, there can never be any dominance. There's always going to be codependence. And I think, you know, human beings, for example, for all of our cause of our superiority, without the fungus required to make penicillin, we probably obviously wouldn't even be here. So as complex as we are, it requires very simple life forms to maintain our dominance, and also an even more simpler life form in the form of a virus is able to cause this much trouble to arguably what's supposed to be the most complex and intelligent species on the planet. So
it's madness,
but it's as above, so below. I'm taking a real philosophical, philosophical approach to it. That is, like, it should let us know that human beings, even if we consider ourselves to be at the pinnacle of nature, we are not separate from it. And every single time we try and separate ourselves or try and claim superiority, something like this has to happen to remind us, you ain't special either, guys.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, that's it. We go way back. Everything's just... It's there. At this moment in time, it's what we can go back and look back on things from the past. I mean... dinosaurs, all of those kind of things.
All those things. And it all started Jurassic the same Park. Thing. A bunch of people, whether it's dinosaurs, whether it's medieval times, the druids, they all thought they could be comedians. Just like everybody else thinks they can be a comedian. So all of a sudden, they lock themselves in their houses all day. They buy a shitload of toilet paper so they can masturbate. So they can come. But they understand, it's not just holding yourself up in hotel rooms.
How could a Tyrannosaurus masturbate? I've got small hands, fam.
Well, that's why they...
Let me Google that. The T-Rex masturbate?
He was so angry. That's why he was angry all the time.
Maybe that's why. maybe
you need to release.
If you can't masturbate and you can't have that release, what are you going to do?
You know what? There's a whole Family Guy joke about it.
Oh, my God.
Marlon, I hope this has helped raise your spirits talking to us today.
I hope it raised everyone's spirits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the important thing, Marlon. And I hope that your family and stuff are safe as well, man. Everyone doing good so far?
Yeah, I hope so too.
Much love.
I ain't seen any of them because, you know, I don't like them.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. I think, you know, that's one of the things. This is going to be a real test for people. There's a lot of people out here that have friendships that are based on brevity. There's a lot of people in my life where I'm like, you know what, yeah, I like you, but like, I like you like a shot of tequila. You're great in small doses. Yeah. But I definitely don't want to be hungover from you. So.
God. Wow.
Big time. Marlon, take care of yourself, man. We'll hopefully see you in person for a proper podcast record, right? We'll hopefully see you for a proper one.
The other side of the prof clips, yeah? Right.
I was working for a guy called Bert. Do you remember Bert, who used to run Paul O'Grady's chat show? If you remember that guy?
Yeah, maybe. Long time. I've been in a coma.
Oh, of course.
That's so cool. Yeah. See, Marlon, I like that about comas, you know? If people say comas, there's a lot of disadvantages. There's a lot of advantages. That lets you... A coma is like your brain performing a Facebook call. If you don't matter, I'm not going to remember you. These acquaintances don't work for me. That's what I love.
I don't know. It's deep.
Marlon, peace. Take care of yourself.
And yourself, man.
I'll speak to you soon, man. Thanks again.
Yeah, we'll do. Best practice.
So it was good to speak to Marlon. Let's call one more person, which is let's call Matt Bell, who is a kind of director, producer, friend of both mine and yours. You've worked with him before, haven't you, Dane?
I have worked with Matt Bell,
and he made a film about Eddie Hall, Britain's Strongest Man. It's still on Netflix. If you're looking for stuff to watch on Netflix, check it out. But he's a big character. He's been working on a big show that I think has now stopped working, so let's ask him how he's getting on. He's quite the character.
Let's do now.
Let's see if he picks up.
Hello,
Matt Bell.
Hello, mate.
Oh, you're the most crystal clear line we've had. Welcome.
Are you kidding?
Yep, you're very clear. Very clear.
That's what you get in Nottinghamshire, bro. That's where the internet's actually kept in a big way.
That sounds kind of smug then, Matt. Is that where it's really kept?
yeah, mate, in a massive aircraft hangar. Well, two aircraft hangars outside Nottingham.
That's
I'm
bollocks.
Just going to say, if it transcends that that's true and that you have the biggest servers in the UK there, expect people to descend upon you.
Yeah, I know. The ravaging, whatever we're going to call it, and it's already begun, I think.
Listen, I saw a lady slap another lady over toilet paper.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
It's fucking
was
happening.
It a backhand or a front hand? And was it the same hand she uses to wipe?
I mean, there you go. I don't know if it was I reckon it was a front hand, which is the most aggressive of the hands. You know.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah,
Second only to a dual forward hand. And also a pimp backhand, but basically a social forward hand. Plus, given, you know, statistically speaking, it's likely that she was right-handed and therefore she got slapped with the wiping hand.
Wow.
World's gone crazy. I mean,
it sounds like she got whacked with every hand. Which, you know what, the toilet paper thing I'm a bit bamboozled by, honestly, because, like, has no one ever been to the Arabic states where they don't use toilet paper, they just use a bum gun?
Exactly.
But it's the deal. Why can't people, I've been to so many hotels where there is a redundant bidet, which is also my cam girl name.
I mean, bum gun. I'm not sure if bum gun is the right terminology to use in this case, but
no.
And not because it's bad, but there might be a more effective use of a bum gun. Because I feel like, you know, if I was maybe just new to Grindr and I wanted to meet some cool dudes, I might be like, hey guys, I got a bum gun, etc.
The signature Dane Baptiste bum gun.
Yeah. The old bum gun.
Yeah, all right, I'm in. Where do I sign?
You know, because you know who uses a bum gun, Matt?
Who?
An assassin.
Oh, mate. You got it all going on. You should do this for a living.
Listen, Matt, I'm isolated, okay? It's the best I can do with isolation. I can't check how good it is.
Hey, I'm impressed, mate. I'm impressed. You've got ass jokes coming out the wazoo. It's amazing. Right.
Literally at the wazoo, mate. Literally.
So I want to give you guys an update as to what's happening in Nottinghamshire.
Okay, go for it. But Matt, can I just tell the audience who you are? Just because you're an old friend of mine who's a filmmaker, and you've worked with Dane before on a couple of things, I know you've got a lot of opinions on lots of good stuff. So we're talking to people about the fucking apocalypse. How's the apocalypse going in Nottingham then?
Well, do you know what's really weird, right? I've just been working on a big TV show out in like a big drama type thing out in Prague. So I've been in Prague for months now. And the moment all the like emergency sort of notifications came in, it was like immediate lockdown. Like everyone's banned from going to school. Like no, you know, kids are kept home from school. This was a week ago. Mm. Like no groups of more than 9, which I thought was a strange number. They took it really seriously. And then you drive around in Nottinghamshire and it's just like, unless you're listening to the news, it's 100% business as usual, apart from when you go into a supermarket. But other than that, everyone's just strolling the streets. It's really just normally, just like bowling around, smoking tabs, you know, in Nottinghamshire style. Yeah, it's really strange. I was thinking, though, that one thing I've really, there's been a real absence of so far is like cackling cyber goons. Like that's how I always envisage the apocalypse. So I think I'm going to have to start a very British version of being a cackling cyber goon, like Mad Max.
Mad Max, great.
Stripped to the waist, 2 leather belts across my tits, probably. Yeah. I'll be swinging a chain. I'm going to have a Mohican. They've always got time in the morning to do their Mohican and put makeup on.
They always do. I'm going to have a walking stick with a knife hidden inside.
I'm going to have a rat on a leash that lives on my shoulder for the most part, but occasionally I use him as a weapon.
That's very good. I'm also going to have a pigeon for that, and he also exchanges messages. And then I'm going to get like little bits of like Semtex and stuff and drop them on his feet, and he's going to be able to drop them like bombs. And then I have a drone too. I should probably get a drone.
Ooh, yeah, you should. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, Mad Max made now would have drones. Actually, they did make one now and they didn't have drones, so forget that.
Point. I'm just going to have no legs and cackle constantly. That's what I feel like my kind of character would be, like a really, like the end of the road character, basically.
Yeah.
You strike me as like a pole booth kind of guy. Like if you want to enter the lake of acid, you must grease my palm with silver. And everyone's like, all right, Howard.
Yeah. You're an administrator. Yeah, you're an apocalyptic
boring.
Administrator. I'm sorry, mate. You do, because it's a safe role. It's an NPC, it's a non-playable character.
It's the apocalypse. No, come on. I want to do a good thing.
What are you telling me? You want to be stripped to the waist trading thumbs with people, biting people in the throat. Come on.
Okay.
You're gonna have a necklace full of thumbs.
If you go to a sacrifice, Howard, and you get virgin blood on your face, you're going to throw up. And we don't need that in our apocalyptic regime.
That's how you spread infection, Howard.
Fine. I work for the fucking apocalypse civil service if you need me to. Fine.
Howard, you'll be right next to me in the new church of the Golden Dawn, okay? Which I will consult.
But I was telling Dane, Matt, just to bring you back to reality for one second, which is you're working on this big show, and tell us what happened, because you were obviously it's hundreds of people on this production, right? And then it's
like any big TV show, there's hundreds of people, and you all have to go into essentially like a big studio every day and start filming these scenes that are, you know, so you've got these big actors. I mean, it's difficult because I'm not allowed to talk about any of it because it's all under
no details.
Disclosure agreement.
Working on this,
but essentially we got an email just saying, there's been, you know, obviously coronavirus is an issue. We're going to have to stop production for the foreseeable. And that costs a fortune. Like that costs, you know, the production company and the studio just like a lot of money to shut down production because they've purpose built their own studios. And this has happened from, I know they're shooting Batman at the moment in the new Batman, they're shooting at Leavesden. And that's, I think that's shut down for the moment or like been like, you know, postponed. They're shooting, The Witcher for Netflix has been postponed.
Right. I didn't watch the first season yet. That's fine. That gives me some time.
Yeah, don't worry, bro. You still got time. It's all good. You know, what are we going to do without our tertiary services in a world where everyone has to be isolated and they're recounting on box sets to get them through? What, they're going to start listening to fucking podcasts or something? I'm joking.
That's all right.
Podcasts are a brilliant form of entertainment.
Well, remember your comments in the post-apocalypse. Howard, make a note of that. Do some admin now. Matt, it's going to be fine.
It's going to be okay.
What's going to happen is we're going to see a revival of human contact and interaction. So that means there are a bunch of old dudes.
Right now, you're not allowed to contact each other or touch people.
Oh, I know, but like in terms of like box sets and stuff, people be like, remember these? And I'm like, what the fuck is this big chunk of plastic?
Oh, yeah.
This is called a cassette. And on these, we used to tape an entire series of Sons and Daughters on Carlton. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Can I find that on YouTube?
Bro, I'm way ahead of you. I've got the, I've got all of Hello Hello on a hard drive. I went there on a torrenting rampage, hashtag illegal, and I downloaded for no reason at all other than my hoarder mentality. But instead of hoarding useful fucking things like toilet paper, I was like, I'll get all of Hello Hello. And so if I ever need to see Von Klinkerhoffen or Helga with the big boobies, then not a problem, bro. You come to me.
Yeah.
And if you want to see some old German channel late 90s pornography, you come to me. Then it's rustic. And it's rustic. Don't you worry, Matt. It's rustic. It's nostalgic. People love that shit.
First masturbation.
Make masturbation great again. And then, you know, your problem is, Dane, I don't have enough toilet paper. Once I start selling these masturbatory aids, they'll bring the paper to us, Matt.
Bring in the... We don't need the toilet paper. We rediscovered the bum gun.
Oh, yeah, I'd give myself a butt wash. That's the best way. I mean, look...
Are you an advocate of the butt wash? Is that I tried it once and it terrified me.
I'm a staunch advocate of the butt wash. Like, if butt washing was like ideology, and then there was like centrist, and then left was like toilet paper, and right was like washing your butt with a butt wash,
then you're like high like, old Dane.
Yeah, I'm like the Nigel Farage of washing your butt. And that's how far right I am with how you should wash your butt. Because
there's a subreddit called Brand New Sentences, and I think that definitely qualifies. As no one's ever said. Nigel Farage of washing
the thing
your
is,
butt.
Matt, if you type it in, what it says is, did you mean Nigel Farage uses his tongue to wash your butt? So you've got to be very specific about that.
Yeah, that tongue would be quite good as well, because it looks like a big fleshy pillow. It's like a big
old felcher. You're right, Matt. You're right. That's
I don't know if I'd let him down there, if I'm honest, though. I don't know if I'd let him down there.
Yeah,
you just
right.
Don't know what he's going to get up to.
And that tells you a lot, doesn't it? And you know what? You know when you see him, do you know what he'll do, Matt? You know what I think? We've previously had a conspiracy theory on here, but we feel like the introduction of this virus may be the first stage in an alien attack. I can tell you, the first person that will be sucking on that 9 tentacle super alien octopus mega dick will be Nigel Farage.
Yeah, he'll be squirming his way in there.
Yeah.
How can I help my lord?
Exactly. And they'll be like, you can start by enjoying my tentacle clitori.
Yeah. It's a possibility. It's a distinct possibility.
Clitori.
Yeah.
What am I, gay? And then he'll be like,
turns out, yes, I am gay for alien.
I am gay for your Nigel now. Yeah. Rinse my bottoms, all 9 of them.
But he'll do it while he's chuckling and saying something colloquial with a hoarse voice and drinking a pint like a twat.
Exactly.
And agreeing to join the Federation of Starships as well. Obviously, he'll be happy to join that union, I'm sure.
Of course.
Yeah, and then he'll start his own party to get us out of the Federation.
Yeah, then he'll want to become a trade separatist. Where have we seen this before? I know where, Matt. Long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Phantom Menace, mate. Let's make a film for kids all about trade separatism. They'll love that.
Exactly. Trade embargoes. That's how it all began. And then all the other aliens will be like, the thing about Nigel, he's not perfect. He betrayed his own species, but he's the kind of guy you can have a pint with in the space bar. A pint of our leader, semen.
The Mos Eisley cantina, gobbling down alien dicks.
Exactly. That sounds like the kind of music that Nigel Farage would ask for as he undresses before he starts rimming aliens.
I could hear Howard keep on trying to interject.
I've got to move on to something else. We've got to finish this show.
No, mate, I think you've got another hour of this left, to be honest.
Matt, it's been a joy, hasn't it, Dane? Wasn't it good?
Obviously.
It was good to talk to Matt, wasn't it, Dane?
It's been great, Matt, and it's very encouraging to know that Nottinghamshire people are remaining to be resilient and they are holding on. I don't like to use the slogan "keeping calm and carrying on" because I find it very propagandaish. But
they're keeping it cool. Chilean.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, but, it's a flat county full of racists, so you know they're doing their thing. It's good.
Not everyone's racist. Remember that time Morgan Freeman was living there in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
Oh yeah. Oh, actually, you know what?
That documentary.
And Jamie Foxx. in the later version.
Who watched that one, Matt? I don't know. But
I was going to say, Matt is one of the few people who...
Do you know the thing about? Do you know the thing about his character in that film?
Go on.
No.
Very, very Moorish.
That's very good.
Good.
That's very good. Yeah,
you can have that one.
And that's why
I'm one of your bloody comedy sketches.
That's why you're the lieutenant of Kink Murder and Howard does admin.
And speaking of admin, Matt is one of the people who could actually plug something that you could watch that he's made when you're sitting at home during the apocalypse, haven't you, Matt?
Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah, yeah. For anyone that's bored out of their tiny mind and got 90 minutes to piss up the wall, please go onto Netflix and watch my documentary, Eddie Strongman, which is about Eddie Hall, who was the world's strongest man in 2018, I think, or 2017.
Yep.
It's a riveting watch.
It's genuinely a riveting watch.
I've seen the things. It looks good. And, you know, for me, it's very humbling to see my predecessor before I became the world's strongest man in 2020. Yeah. And if you say my mum is a liar, this phone call is over, Matt Bell.
Guys, it's been real. Thanks for having
me. We'll speak to you again during the apocalypse, mate. Take care of yourself.
I look forward to it. Hugs and love.
Take care, buddy.
Cheers, Matt.
Peace.
So there we go, Dane. That's our first episode ever of Question Everything, remotely recorded with people from around the country trying to deal with the apocalypse.
That's right. So what do we call it? What do you call it? Question Everything After the Apocalypse.
I don't know. I mean, I have to think of a name. But we must say thank you to all the people who've given their time today. You know, Ishan Akbar, Matt Bell, Marlon Davis and Rahul Kohli, who all gave time to speak to us. Hope it entertained you guys at home. We don't want to stop this podcast while this is going on. So we hope this has worked as a way to kind of keep it going.
Exactly. And while we're not laughing in the face of the issue, guys, we're trying to do our bit as much as we can, because we don't presume to be able to provide the same kind of services as the people that work in the civil service taking care of us at this time. But if we can provide you with some light relief, then you just ask us the question and we will provide the answer. And feel free to continue questioning everything. I think it's more important than ever that you are aware of your reality right now, and we'll keep the episodes coming. So thank you very much, everybody, and big up yourself, Hizza.
Yeah, nice one. Take care, everyone. Look after yourself.
Thanks, everyone.
See ya. You've been listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, hosted by Dane Baptiste. For more from Dane, go to danebaptiste.co.uk or follow him at danebaptweets. The show is produced by me, Howard Cohen. You can follow me on Twitter at the Howard Cohen. Thanks to Polly and Gelly. Hey, if you like what you've been listening to, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Thanks for listening. And remember, question everything.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.